Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey everyone, it's me, Laura. Yep, Zach's not here today. Actually, I'm going to be filling in while Zach is off doing something that is a little new, but also a new passion. He's traveling. He's actually in New York and California and Colorado. A little bit of fun, a little bit of wedding time, a little bit of family time. But in the meantime, it's me and my friend Craig. Craig is also a practitioner like myself. He works with individuals and couples, and he's based out of Utah. One of the things that I appreciate most about Craig, number one, is this is his second time actually being on the podcast with us. But also, he is not just someone who talks the talk, but he literally walks the walk. If you follow him on social media, you will see that he has daily thoughts, actions, ways in which he is not only asking his clients to show up, but how he is also persevering and showing up in his own life. I hope you continue to listen. I think that this is a pretty cool conversation. I'm going to ask you a lot of personal questions, Craig. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. We've been playing with the Zoom settings, and are you going to leave it on that one?
I'm leaving it.
Yeah. I don't think men get the opportunity to know what it feels like to put makeup on. Like it is such a boost. And to each their own, right? Like there's definitely women who feel amazing, no makeup, men who wear makeup, but it feels good in the morning to be able to take your wake up appearance and then elevate it just a little bit. And then even more so if you use Botox, which I'm a huge fan of, and I'm fine saying it.
Well, this filter is giving me a taste of it. So I'm on right now. My forehead's looking good. Like I'm a little shocked right now, but I'm very excited about this look.
It's funny that you mentioned that your wife's been trying to get you to do Botox because, and I'll be really, we have a sponsor, OneSkin, and I gave my husband, or he stole it, to be perfectly honest. He stole our product that was mailed. And because he has like these bags under his eyes and he doesn't know what to do with them. And he's never been a product guy. And then finally he asked, he said, hey, so I'm starting to use this product. I can see the results. What about something a little more intense? And I was like, you mean Botox? You want to do some Botox? Let's do some Botox. Yeah. Would you ever try it? Would you ever do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not so worried about, hold on. What are these called? Crow's feet?
Crow's feet. Yeah.
I'm not so worried about that, especially with this filter on. It's it's this butt crack in between my eyes, which you can't see. There you go. It's permanent.
Yep. Here's the real question, which is when you can see the butt crack, does it give you an expression that you're projecting into the outside world that you're not okay with or you're not happy with?
No, it doesn't.
Okay. It's just you. Because here's the thing with that particular line right here, a lot of people say it makes me look angry and I don't want people to think I look angry.
No, I don't think that.
No, it's just the butt crack. You don't want a butt crack on the front. Butt cracks are fat for backs, right?
No, I got a big enough one in the back. I don't want another one in the front. I don't know. And now seeing this is a danger of filters.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really, can you imagine what it'd be like to be a celebrity who sees themselves always through a filtered version of themselves? Like every photograph that comes out, every photo shoot, every movie, whatever, it's like you have the most makeup on, you have all of the tailored suits, you have all of like the touch-ups, and then they have to stare at their real face every day in the mirror. Be really messed up.
That would be messed up.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about real stuff, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
I mentioned that you are a first repeat offender. You were the very first person to be on the show for a second time.
That's shocking. And
no,
I'm so honored.
I'm so pumped. And I can't even remember what we talked about the last time. I mean, I'm sure we talked about your journal, but I can't remember. It's been that long since we've had you on.
Yeah. Well, I went for a walk last night and I listened to it.
Oh, you did? What did we talk about?
It's so good. There's,
I am so good.
Listen, I'm surprised I haven't been on here four or five times after that episode.
I agree.
It wasn't even me. I'm just kidding. Like you talked about some amazing things. Zach drops. It was such a good conversation, but it was about mindset. It was about gratitude. It was right at Thanksgiving of 21.
Oh, okay? Oh wow.
Yeah. 2021.
So we were already in COVID at that point for a solid like 6 months.
COVID was 20.
It was a year and a half in. Okay, yeah. Got it.
But the world took a long time, right? Like we still are homebound. We've never recovered. Mm-mm. But it was a really fun conversation. There's so many good things. People need to go listen to it. It was
what
good.
Episode? Do you know what number it is?
Yep, 191.
Nice. I'm so glad you came prepared for this interview today.
I was just like, I don't want to say all the same stuff, even though there's probably so many more listeners. You guys are kind of a big deal,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Did you know that we have 11 billion listeners? It's kind of incredible.
You have 11. Hold on.
Billion.
Well, thanks for having me on today. good to be. I'm now.
Thanks for wearing your suit. I appreciate you stepping the game up.
I am not surprised by that. This is such a good show. So that's why I forced my way back again.
Good. I love it. Thanks. If you don't ask, you don't receive. So I'm all about asking for what you want.
Yeah, I'll be waiting for my the YouTube plaque.
Totally.
Some kind of something for being the first, second. Then I mean,
oh my gosh, I'm going to send you something to your home or your office and you're going to get it and you're going to be really confused. And all of a sudden you're going to go, oh, this is what you get when you are on a show that has 11 billion listeners.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the personal questions before we dive into, and I'm just going to give a little bit, and actually I kind of want to know a little bit about what is lighting you up personally these days. Like, what are you finding is lifting your spirits? What are you finding is like engaging your brain and your heart? I'm just really curious, like, where are you at right now personally?
I'm a little low personally.
Okay. I'm so glad to like hear you be so open and honest about that.
Yeah, I am a little bit low. It started towards the end of last year.
Yeah.
I launched some really cool things in my coaching and counseling practice. I guess they're separate at this point, but like online courses, I started a community, like a membership site.
Yeah.
Has a really cool tagline. It's like a therapist in your pocket. Anyway,
cool.
The community is really cool. The community is a really cool thing, but I think I just got burned out.
Yeah.
And so I knew I had to do something different. Mm-hmm. You'll like this. So I did a 6-week program and I ran a marathon.
No, you didn't. How come I didn't? Hold on. You trained for 6 weeks to run a marathon?
I have never run before. I trained for 6 weeks and I ran a marathon.
I am dropping the big FU. Are you kidding me? And you have your own.
I made my own medal.
You made your own medal.
I just did it by myself.
Dude.
Well, my brother-in-law, he went with me. So I made him one too. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It was a big deal. It was a real thing.
Wow.
So that started to light me up. I'm like, I got to do something. I need to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to push myself. I need to get back on like the winning side of life. Mm. And it was really cool. So I ran it March 9th. So it's been a month and a half now. And I've never recovered, by the way, my knee. I I don't think you should train for 6 weeks and run a marathon when you're...
I mean, I don't offer medical advice, but I'm going to go ahead and let you know that I've been training for 14 weeks for a marathon. And my coach said, Laura, I'm really concerned. Gene doesn't listen to the podcast, but I'm going to talk about Gene Usweta for a second. Usweta? No, I don't think that's his last name. I'm making it up. But he basically said, I'm concerned that you who don't have the volume to run this marathon. And I'm going to go, do you know how many miles you ran in 6 weeks to prepare? Do you know the data on that?
105.
Okay. Our coach projected over 400. I can't remember what the total volume of the training program was, but it was over 400. So you ran about a quarter of what my training group is getting ready to run this weekend. Yeah. Actually on Sunday, we're going to go to the Eugene Marathon. That's impressive. Don't do that though. However, I mean,
it's impressive, but it's kind of dumb.
But it did. Did it do what you were wanting it to do of like kind of kickstart you?
Oh yeah. I've been so productive since then because I don't know many runs that I was like, here we go. Yes.
Yeah.
20 miles today. This will be great.
Said no one ever. Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
But it's such, I really appreciate the mental game of running now.
Yeah.
And I really did learn to love that. And I feel like my ADHD got more in check. Seriously.
Boy, there's something else we want to talk about, but yeah. Okay.
There's no ADHD in this room right now.
None. Let's see if we can keep this conversation on track.
Yeah. What were we saying? I'm just kidding.
No idea. I think we're talking about dinner.
Yes. So no, but I'm more productive.
Yeah.
I have that. I definitely have that mechanism. That's like, Craig, it's time to do something.
And okay.
I'm more likely to do it now. I see myself do that, but I'm also,
so you're like discipline got sort of like dialed in.
Did. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
So if somebody's listening to this, like I'm just thinking through, okay, you were in a low spot and you reach for something and I guess it could have been a marathon, but it can be anything. But what is it that they need to reach for? Is it like a goal that's so difficult that it's going to really push them into their discomfort?
Yeah, we have to get out of comfort.
Get out of comfort.
Out of comfort. We can tie this to marriage too, because it created a lot of conversations. My wife's not pleased about the marriage. She was not happy.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big guy. I lift heavy weights and
yes, you do. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she's like, you're going to end up in the hospital. Rightfully so. I get injured a lot when I do weird things.
Okay.
So she wasn't happy about it, but I also noticed, I'm like, we'll have difficult conversations about it and I don't have to be reactive. And it really pushed a lot of even marriage stuff. So it's really weird how many things I took from the marathon. But your question is, do people need to do something and get out of the comfort? I think so. I think there's so much growth out of the comfort zone.
Yeah. Okay. But here's the thing that I think is so interesting is that you said you were burned out and then you reached for something even more difficult and like uncomfortable. I'm like,
it's really weird.
That's really weird. That's interesting. That doesn't seem like that would be the natural inclination. Most people, when they're burned out, say, maybe I should slow down. Maybe I should do less. Maybe I should do some self-care. And you were like, we're going to go ahead and put this into high gear and we're going to push harder.
Yeah. Probably because it was the body. And I think you appreciate this. Like when I pushed my body or people push their body and then the mind gets involved, it's a different kind of energy. It fueled me. I may have been exhausted after those runs.
Yeah.
Which I'm telling you, after day one, it was like a walk five, run 10, walk five. Run 10. I was like, I did a little recording on my phone. I'm like, I can't see how this is going to be possible. Cause I couldn't do that on day one.
Dang.
On day 41 was the marathon. That's not.
Oh my gosh.
So I think it rejuvenated me because it was my body. It was my mind. It wasn't just go to work and do another project like that kind of burnout. And so I'm feeling that again. Like when you say, where are you at today? That's a little bit where I'm at today. I'm a little down.
Okay.
So I'll go move my body today. Like I got a break in the middle of the day. I'll go work out and
probably
sauna and meditate a little bit, but
I love that. I was watching, I have not been on social media. That's been something that I got a little burned out on social dynamics, and it actually started around COVID. And so I decided I was just going to get rid of social media, and I really liked it, but then I had to get back on it because of Marriage Therapy Radio. But we follow you, and I happened to be on there looking at something, and it popped up, and you were like, you know what? I took a little walk today on my lunch break and I feel so much better. And I just walked down the road and I came back and I took my snack. And I was like, you know, I found that the dogs needing to go out, we didn't have a yard for a long time. And so in order to, I had to take them for walks like 4 times a day. And my mood was so much better because I was forced to take the dogs for a walk. And I wish I had the discipline to do that in the middle of the day rather than sit down and scroll or, you know, do any, like fold the laundry, just go for a walk. I know that the exercise is going to make me exponentially more happy.
Yeah. So I'm gonna put those back in. Yeah, okay. Burnout. Like, okay. Let's move a little more.
Yeah. I like it.
Hey gang, it's Zach here to remind you that if you're not using Rocket Money, you're probably doing it wrong. I mean, did you ever find subscriptions you forgot about or any that you paid twice for and didn't realize it? We are active subscribers across the internet for fitness apps, food delivery apps, entertainment apps. Did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they forgot about? Before we started using Rocket Money, I thought I was in control of my subscriptions, and I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for a handful of extras each month. Between those streaming services, the fitness apps, and the delivery services, it was never ending. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on ones I forgot about. Not only do we use it, but my daughter's using it as well. I finally had her hook up, and she was blown away by the number of subscriptions that she had just let lapse and totally forgotten about. Rocket Money went in, canceled them for her, and now she's starting to see her account balance go up. She's always struggled with finding ways to manage her finances, and with her busy life in college, the last thing she wants to do is spend time budgeting all of her expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions she no longer uses. Now she's using Rocket Money, and it does all of that for her. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, my daughter and I both have full control over our subscriptions with clear views of our expenses. We can see all of our subscriptions in one place, and if we see something we don't want, Rocket Money can go in and help you cancel it with just a few taps. I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month's, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. This has been a huge benefit to my daughter. Another thing that she found out is that Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to about $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/MTR. That's rocketmoney.com/MTR. rocketmoney.com/MTR.
Okay. What is lighting you up professionally? Like, what's the thing that you find yourself having some passion or energy around in your work with individuals and couples?
The community I mentioned is lighting me up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about it. Cause I don't know anything about this community you've created.
Yeah. So everyone, a lot of people have membership sites or, you know, sign up for your, and I've been a part of some of them and they're not very good. A lot of them. Okay. In my opinion, I'm just paying all this money to have contact with this person and I never have contact with that person.
Okay.
And so I've done it totally different. We have weekly live calls. Once a month, I bring in an expert in May, probably Laura Heck will come in and talk about relationships or something. Invitation. Mm-hmm. Weekly is a live call where I'm coaching and going through some things, but every single day, there's a new post on mental health, on relationships, on there's mindset, there's Monday motivation videos. Every day there's some kind of content going to straight to their phone in an app, not Instagram, not Facebook. It's through Kajabi. It's not like a white label app where it's like the greatest thing, but it's all me.
Yeah.
And then we're interacting and people are connecting and it's really cool. It's a really cool thing that slowly is building up. I have to remind myself that it's probably not as slow as I think. There's about 30 people in there, which is
That's awesome. Very cool.
And it's 7 months old. So
yeah,
that's lighting me up. I'm creating courses now, which I've always wanted to do and never have. And now I just, again, it's like that ADHD the mechanism that clicks over.
Right.
Just get in this zone. And pretty soon I've got a 100-page workbook and 12 hours of recordings. Like it's just, I love that stuff.
Good for you. That's
never done
awesome.
It before, so that is.
Can I ask about this community? Because one of the things that I try to do, or I strive to do, is I understand that when people come to therapy, that is often the only time that they've carved out to be intentional about their relationship or intentional about thinking, you know, through where they're at. I don't do individual work, but I know that you do, right? Are you still doing individual work?
Yeah, you keep sending people my way. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes,
maybe I should have asked you before I started sending individuals your way.
Yeah, no, yeah. I do. And I love that.
Okay.
Stuff. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. But what I'm hoping to do is continue to keep that momentum going between the weeks, because it's like, unless it's staring you in the face or you're being intentional. And for me, unless somebody's holding my hand or somebody's holding me accountable, I'm probably not going to show up to do the work. And so if I'm paying you, I'm in for that hour, and then I'm not going to think about you or the work that we did unless I'm sitting in your office again the following week. So I like the bridging of the gap between sessions. And I guess my question is, do you have folks that are doing therapy and they're in the community as a way of continuing on that momentum? Or is this almost like in lieu of therapy?
Both.
Okay.
There's people and doing therapy with somebody else.
Okay.
Doing work somewhere else. And then there's the gap filler.
Yeah.
It's a new tagline. It's the gap filler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it is. It's simple stuff, right? It could be from a 2-minute video to a 15-minute breakdown of some kind of concept, but then they apply it in that day. But every day there's something that's pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Oh, on the first I dig episode, that.
The first yeah. episode we talked about where the journal came from. And I'm like, I just needed to have contact with people between the sessions, like
right.
keep doing stuff. And so this is just a really beefed up version.
I love it. That's pretty awesome. I'm sure my journal is behind me. That's in the other bookshelf. Okay. Tell me what else is lighting you up. We were texting back and forth about things that you wanted to talk about. And I'm really curious, like, this is how the conversations with Zach happen all the time. You are pseudo Zach today, my co-host, but, we just basically say, like, what have you been thinking about? What are you seeing in your practice? What's going on? What's coming up in your practice?
A lot of couples lately. That's
cool.
Not my primary stuff. I know that is for you guys.
Yeah.
So I love it whenever couples come in, but also a lot of marriage work without couples. So one person, I'm here to work on my marriage.
Yeah.
The other person's not going to be here because they don't believe in it. I'm like, well, I'm not like the fairy tooth or fairy tooth. What am I trying to
fairy,
say?
The fairy tooth fairy. There we go.
I'm not the fairy tooth or the tooth fairy. Like, what do you mean? They don't believe in therapy. Like it's a thing, but they don't believe in it. So they're not going to be here. Or maybe there's a past hurt in previous marital work they've done, or for whatever reason, but only one person is showing up. Mm. And this is becoming a little more frequent for me. So that I reached out to you and I'm like, what do we do? How do I do this?
Yeah.
So much how, but are you seeing this? And what do you do with couples? This one person showing up. So that's been a lot more common lately for me.
Yeah. You know, statistically, research shows that when you go to individual therapy and maybe your relationship, you're not coming to Craig or Laura and saying, hey, I really want to work on my marriage. I want us to stay together, but I recognize that I have some things that I may be blind to or that I need to process or trauma I need to work through to make this relationship better. That's awesome if you're doing that piece of the puzzle. But statistically, what we're finding is if you have an individual therapist and you're like, I have a history of anxiety, I want to work on my anxiety, and all you're doing is talking about your relationship, your therapist only has one point of view. And so what they're going to do is they're going to take your side 100% of the time. There is no perspective because all you're doing is sharing, this is what's going on in my relationship. And your partner's not there to share their perspective. There's only one truth that's coming out in therapy. And with a therapist that's only taking your side, we see that relationships actually get worse because you don't have somebody else representing your partner and their point of view. You're just having your partner, your therapist, be a sounding board validating your perspective. And so you suddenly become a little more self-righteous. I'm right, my partner's wrong, and I need to kick him to the curb. So, I mean, that's a real thing that happens, is that individual therapy with one person where you end up talking about your relationship, the relationship gets worse. But how is it different for you when people come to you and say, I specifically want to work on my side of the street when it comes to the relationship? Because my guess is the relationship isn't getting worse when they come to you. My guess is it's probably getting better.
Mm. What do you mean by that?
Well, because if they're coming to you and they're saying, Craig, this is the specific reason I'm coming to see you. Yeah. I'm coming because I want to work on my piece of the relationship and how I can make it better. So when the objective of what therapy is for, and you're coming to somebody who is, I would say, relationship informed, you're working with them, right?
Yeah. I think I got this from you. I was thinking about this the other day.
Huh.
I ask whether, so if the couples are in there together, session one or session two, it's one of my favorite questions. I really think this is from you though. So if it's not from you, just take it and be like, yeah,
sure.
That's me.
Sure. Okay.
But I will ask in a better way, but how do you suck in the relationship?
Yeah.
How
are you
not showing up? Is this yours?
Yeah, totally.
Every couple I see, this is one of the first things.
Yeah.
It's the whole healthy me, healthy we concept, right? Like you could look across at your partner and say, if they did this and this different, right, I could do better too, which may be true, but you're probably not easy to be married with either.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably not so great either. So how are you? And so if the couple is there, I ask that. And if one person is there, I ask that.
Uh-huh.
How are you personally? Like, just look at yourself not showing up very well in your relationship, in your opinion. And then we begin there.
Okay, like, cool.
That's where we can begin because you already know and you're owning it. I'm not very good in these areas.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be mentality. It could be, you know, some of their mindset or how they're perceiving their partner. But it could also be, and many times is, a lot of behavioral or habitual stuff where the stonewalling stuff, or they just like our communication, and it's on me. I act like I don't hear him or her a lot because I just don't want to how's that working out?
Okay. So when you have an individual that comes to see you because their partner doesn't want to come to therapy, and you start with the question of what is your awareness of your faults in the relationship? Or like, do you ever ask, what are the complaints that your partner has about you?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So what are the complaints that your partner has? What is your awareness? Sometimes when we come to therapy, we have zero idea of what we're doing wrong. And that's part of my role as a therapist, is to say, I'm going to come in, I'm going to spot some of the things you don't even have awareness over, but we've got to start with your awareness of what is this, what's going on. I like to also ask the question of, what are some unhelpful guides that you learned from your family, right? So like, or unhelpful ways of communicating or conflict or managing relationships that you learned from your parents that you're aware of. And that's where it gets easier for them to say, oh man, I'm such an avoider when it comes to conflict. I got that from my dad. And I'm such a blah, blah, blah. I got this from my, you know, my aunt. That's an interesting question too.
That's a great one.
Cool. Okay. So you're seeing individuals coming to you and they want to work on their piece of the puzzle. What is it like working with someone when their partner is not as interested in engaging in therapy or is seemingly uninterested in making the relationship better? So you have the motivated partner in your office, and I'm guessing the complaint is, my partner doesn't want anything to do with this relationship, doesn't want to put any effort in.
Yeah. What is that like?
Mm-hmm. What do you do with that?
Well, it's tough. It's kind of why I texted you. I was hoping you were going to tell me all the stuff to say. where I go with it is, let's focus on, if we're going to be fixing anything, one, it starts within.
Cool.
But let's get away from fixing or changing or improving our partner, and let's focus more on the patterns.
Huh?
So now it's not, I want to help them to begin to separate looking at their partner as all these problem things. And yes, they are problematic, but it's the pattern you want to address. And so I try to push them more towards that. And I don't know what your thoughts or feelings about that are, but focusing on patterns more than your partner is
okay.
Where
So when you're talking about patterns, are you talking about sort of like one pattern I'm thinking of is the pursuer distancing pattern of, and I'm guessing that the partner in the office with you is going to be the pursuer. I have wanted my partner to lean in. I want my partner to engage. I want connection. I want, you know, more intellectual conversation, whatever it might be. And so they're pursuing. And one pattern that can naturally occur is when you pursue your partner, they naturally distance. And so that becomes kind of a vicious pattern or cycle in the relationship. Is that kind of what you're talking about when you think about patterns?
I mean, that is one pattern, but it even could be just the communication styles that they have.
We go to
bed mad every night. So all the little stuff, or they're not doing the dishes, or they're forgetting X, Y, or Z, or it's easy to say, yeah, if we can just fix them in that way.
Okay.
And that's where we come back to the self. It's like, well, what are your patterns? How are you showing up? Maybe they do present you with fill in the blank. How are you responding to that? It's either helpful or hurtful in this ongoing exchange that you guys always fall into.
Interesting. Yeah. So I'm kind of thinking about like, what would I do if I had a client in my office that was basically saying, my relationship isn't going well. I'm the only one that's sitting in front of you right now. You're absolutely right. The only thing I talk about is that person. I'm not interested in the other person. I'm interested in how they're showing up because that's the only thing I have control over. It's funny because as you were talking, I was thinking about revenge bod of like when somebody like breaks up with you, you can wallow in pain or you can do something to make yourself better, whatever that might be. And when I have couples that might separate and they're like, what do I do? I'm so hyper-focused on this other person. What do I do? Like, focus on making yourself the best version of you that you possibly can be. And if you're interested in the relationship being better, you can focus your attention on trying to get your partner looped into the relationship to engage with you, or you can be more engaging. And that starts with you. So it's like, how do you get the revenge bod or how do you get the revenge mind? Like, well, how are you more interesting and engaging where your partner wants to lean in? That's the only thing you have control over is yourself. So I would probably focus on kind of a little bit of like, how do you get yourself to have the best mindset? How do you make yourself, you know, as interesting as possible and get more hobbies and engage with other people outside of the relationship, but become very self-focused?
Yeah. Great approach. And I would imagine that the other person in the relationship doesn't want also a good or better relationship. They just don't want to go to therapy. So sometimes that's a good place to, I mean, I'm just thinking about that now. It's like, we don't have to focus so much on, and if that's you, right? If you're listening to this and you're like, oh, well, that is me. Like my partner won't step foot in an office with me. So how can I make a difference in my relationship? Well, you can. But even the conversation with your partner would be, you know, what are those gaps? What are the gaps of? Here's where we're at. Here's where we both say we would like to be.
Sure.
If it's not going to happen inside of an office, let's at least talk about some of those, that gap and how can we start to close it?
Yeah.
Because I bet your partner, even if they don't want to go to therapy with you, they have a desire to still
have something to be better.
A good relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I 100% agree. And it's interesting because it's like we are looking for ways to be able to recognize that our partner's leaning in. So it's like, here's the lenses. And if you invite me on a date, if you do the dishes unasked, if you X, Y, and Z, whatever it might be, then I'm going to know that you're interested in leaning into the relationship. And the problem is we've really boxed in what we see or view or deem as acceptable behavior of how you're leaning in. But if you do anything beyond, right, like beyond what I see is acceptable of you leaning into the relationship, I refuse to see it. I really think that that other person that's not coming into the office has a whole lot of intention and is probably doing a lot of things that represent leaning in. Like I'm coaching the kids soccer. How is that not me leaning into the relationship? Well, you know what? You didn't ask me how my day was today. You didn't ask me what I thought about politics or whatever. You didn't engage me in conversation. You didn't initiate sex. Well, that wasn't what I was hoping to do. So I just kind of think that we need to broaden also the view of what constitutes leaning into the relationship.
And it's probably happening a lot more, no matter what person you are in this situation. It's probably happening a lot more on the other side than we are noticing.
Yeah, 100%.
And if we are noticing, we're not reinforcing with appreciation or...
Right. Yeah.
I found that a lot in work with couples is people are doing a lot more than they're not just being given credit for, but even that's even being caught. We're not catching stuff.
Yeah. There was a So this is going to be maybe new to our listeners, but it's a review for you. But Dr. Gottman cites research by Robinson and Price, where they would put a couple into a room and then observers on the other side of a glass plane. And they would watch these couples and record their interactions. And they would just be having any kind of a conversation. And the researchers are coding positive and negative interactions. And then what they do is they bring the couple over and they teach them how to record or like how to observe positive and negative interactions. And then they play back the video for them. And what Robinson and Price found is that the couples who were happily married had a very accurate depiction of what positive interactions look like between the two of them. So they were almost fully aligned with what the researchers coded as positive and negative. But when couples were in a negative spot, and they identified their relationship as unhappy, they actually found that they missed 50% of the positive interactions. So even though they were making these bids for connection, they're being very positive, they didn't even see it. And then not only that, but like the neutral interactions between the two of them was actually deemed as more negative than it really was. So there's no doubt that when you're in an unhelpful spot in your relationship and you're going to your individual therapist and you're saying, here's what's going on in the relationship, you're taking neutral events and you're casting them in a negative light. And not only that, but you are recounting half of the positive things that your partner said. You missed the other half or did, you know, any kind of gestures, you just missed them. So there's no doubt the other partner is not getting any kind of a benefit, right?
That's wild.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's probably one of my absolute favorite research items that has come out of the Gottman Institute. And that's, I mean, it's not by the Gottman Institute, but he uses it to support a lot of his work.
Yeah. Okay. So here's something for listeners to use at home.
Yeah.
This is a favorite thing for me to do. And I think it really ties into this. I call it indicators of progress.
Okay.
So how are things going better than they might seem? And if as a couple, you are taking an opportunity, if you're doing a zero, shoot for the first time ever. But if you can get into this routine once a week, maybe even twice, that might be a lot. But how are we doing better than maybe we both perceive we're doing?
Okay.
We had an argument that would feel negative, but it took us a day to recover instead of the four. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Or it's just trying to get that positive bias back of pausing intentionally as a couple and saying, what is actually going well that maybe we've missed over the last few days that we can let's just look at it and see what our indicators of progress are.
Yeah.
You did take the trash out and I noticed you did actually put the bag back.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you for doing that. Right. And I didn't even say it. I noticed it and I didn't say it. I'm going to work on it. I want to make sure I recognize that because I also complain about it.
Yeah.
So I also want to make the effort to raise and recognize when you do that. And I did see it the other day. Thank you. And on and on and on. Right. Ryan, you picked your socks up. Finally, I didn't have to step over them again. That's old news. I talked about socks and Ryan long ago. But like these little things, are you guys actually sitting down and saying, let's just pause and say, and just take turns, 10 minutes, whatever, like three things, whatever. What have I noticed that I haven't verbally said over the last few days that I have noticed and I am thankful for?
Cool.
Such a difference, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I think about when you have a dynamic in a relationship where one partner's not coming to therapy, one thing that I might work on is like, what are the things that we can do that are going to bring your partner closer to you? And so I think about like all of these reinforcing, you can talk about removing those negative behaviors that might be pushing your partner away. But I also want to start talking about what are the things that you notice bring your partner closer to you. And it generally it's softness, it's curiosity, it's appreciations. There's a lot of things that we can start to talk about of, hey, well, let's do an experiment. I want for you to just see how far appreciation goes. Like just spend all day tomorrow verbalizing your appreciation and just notice what your partner does in response. And they might be pretty confused because you're not an appreciative person, but continuing to do it, my guess is they're going to move closer to you. And it's about manipulating those behaviors and then watching as your partner responds to that newness. You were writing something down. I was like, what are you writing, Craig? What are you writing?
Yeah. What can I begin to do to bring my partner closer?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
And it is those things. I did this today. This is not I want to pat myself on the back, but maybe I do. So I'm going to do it.
Cool. I think you should.
My wife is not, for one, going to listen to this. So
phew.
This woman I live with, I won't disclose information about my wife, but this woman I live with, she is not a physical touch person.
Uh-huh.
I, for the last, I don't know, 20 years have said, I'm a physical touch person. I really can benefit. I mean, I am on fire when you just initiate hugs. If I come in the door, I don't need you to run like our dogs do over to me full of excitement, but I would like an initiation of like that goes so far for me.
Yeah.
She did it yesterday. And today I took my kids to school. And before I came in here to hit record with you, I thought, dang it. She asked me to empty the wheelbarrow full of weeds. She's been picking weeds and it's full. She asked me yesterday, can you please just do this for me? And I didn't. I stopped back home this morning, dumped that sucker, raced to my office so we could record. But thinking about it now in this conversation, I'm like, but that's why she poured it to me.
That's right.
And I'm so much more ready today to be like, what can I do? Where can I do something?
Totally.
How can I show up for her? How can I bring her now closer to me?
Yeah.
She did that.
So
it's okay. Little things like that that turn into the big things. She's not going to say anything about it today. If she does, I will text you and I will be floored. She's also an affirmation person.
Yeah.
But I guarantee she's going to go out to pick weeds today and go.
He did it.
Wow, he did it.
But
that means a lot.
Okay. I have a question for you because my husband is also not a words of affirmation person. And I learned this long ago from someone, maybe it was you, I can't remember, about oohs and ahs. I think it was Nate Bagley. Oohs and ahs is a way of initiating words of affirmation from your non-affirmative partner. It's asking for them to come over and ooh and ah the thing that you did specifically for them. Because your wife may not say, Craig, thank you so much for emptying the wheelbarrow. That is so amazing. By the way, I say wheelbarrow. Is it barrel or I say wheelbarrow. Yes.
Barrow.
It's barrow. Yeah. But this is one of the things that my husband loves so much about me is that I use colloquialisms incorrectly. I mispronounce things that I've got, the English language is a mystery to me. So it's always will.
It is really
barrel.
Tough.
It's a tough one. Yeah.
It's a tough.
So how do you feel about the idea of asking for oohs and ahs and verbal affirmation? If your wife was not to say, wow, thank you so much. How do you feel about the idea of saying, honey, I just wanted to let you know that I was already at work and then I remembered the wheelbarrow and I came home, emptied it, and then went back to work. And I did that because I remembered it was important to you. How do you feel about making that more obvious?
Very infrequent, but I'm not against.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think it also depends on where are you at in your relationship.
Okay.
Are you also offering those, not necessarily words of affirmation, but are you feeling your partner's love tank in a kind of reciprocated way? The things that you know, so in my example, that I know she would also appreciate, am I making sure that I'm doing those things too?
Okay.
So if I go and I'm like, hey, I'm going to make a, this is a very intentional and obvious withdrawal. Like I'm going to ask for something from you.
Okay.
I have to keep in mind, like, how much am I also still depositing into this dynamic and relationship? So, but I'm not against it because I do it because I do it in my relationship.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to do it on this one. I might, but it might be something like, hey, was it easier to, did you notice it was, you had room to dump the weeds today? Did you notice that?
Did you notice?
Yeah, I didn't, the wind didn't clear that out for you, by the way.
Oh my gosh, Craig, I hear that. And I'm like, no, that's more passive. I would just be like, you know what I need? I need some oohs and ahs. I need you to come and look at this thing and give me some oohs and ahs because I really wanted to make you happy today. Or just mentioning it. I guess that's the question is, if your partner doesn't affirm you for something that you did, is it okay to ask for that verbal acknowledgement?
I think so. Yeah.
I think so too, because I think when we are establishing, you know, an exchange of when we do things for each other, even if it is required, expected, part of our duty or our lane, it's okay to say, I would really love a thank you. That fills my bucket. I love to have the, you know, like the loop closed for me that you saw it, you acknowledged it and you appreciated it. Because I know that that psychologically is going to reinforce that behavior more and more in the future if you were to close the loop.
Yep. No problem in doing that.
No problem.
Frequency again, right? If it's, did you see what I just did? Did you see that? Can you please tell me? I'm like, so again, and maybe it's more save it for maybe some of these bigger things. This felt bigger to me. I went out of my way.
You totally did.
And I even ignored the first prompt I had, which was pulling out of the driveway with my son. I looked over. I was like, maybe she won't get out there until I get home from work anyway. And then I went. I was like, no, come on. Don't do that. You had the prompt. Do not self-deceive right now. This self-deception stuff. If you've ever read that book, Leadership Deception. Oh, it's good.
Wait, hold on. Say it again. What's the name of it?
I think it's Leadership and Self-Deception.
Okay.
The Arbinger Institute.
Okay.
So good. Summed up in one sentence. When you have this prompt and you know you're supposed to do something and then you ignore that.
Yeah.
You're in self-deception mode and everything else after that kind of goes in a negative direction. So I knew it. And so I went back. I also went back because of how she's been depositing into me in other ways too. So.
Yeah. Okay. This is, it takes me back to this question though, of how long is the partner who's sitting in your office saying, I want to work on my relationship. How long can they stay motivated to continue to work on the relationship if the other partner is seemingly not leaning in or doing anything? That's the hard part of how long can it last?
Yeah. I don't think every marriage should stay
together.
I don't think people, there's worse things in life than divorce.
Yep.
However, we societally, we give up too quickly. That seemingly part that you said.
Right.
If we can get, and I have that individual, that one person working on the marriage in the office, I'm really going to work hard to shift that perception.
Sure.
Let's see this person in a different way. Your show, we'll work on your stuff to show up differently how you are. But we also change this lens that they're so terrible.
Right. Doing nothing.
And they're doing
probably
nothing.
And
the fact that they're not here with you right now means they don't love you or care about you or.
Right.
That stuff's not true. We got to break apart. And then, you can definitely have a huge impact on your relationship if you're the only one showing up. I want people to really get that. You can. So if you've thought about it for 6 years, which I think is what, isn't that what
we got? Statistically, shows, yeah.
6 or 7 years of like, we should do something and you don't, go by yourself. You can still make some progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If anything, you can find more joy, happiness, appreciation, shift the lenses that you're viewing your marriage through. Nothing may change in your marriage other than the lens in which you view it through. And that's good enough, right? Like that can make a big, big shift in your dynamic and allow you to kind of get through a little bit more.
Yeah.
Oh, Well, okay. What is something that you want? Like, what is a challenge that you have for our listeners, or maybe a practice that you want for them to have? Like, what is the wisdom that they can put in their pocket and go, Craig told me to do this today. What are they going to do?
Okay. Not shameless plug. This is what in the relationship circle of the community.
Okay.
There's different circles. And in the relationship circle, this is the stuff that's going in there every Tuesday. Relationships are on Tuesdays, but this kind of stuff, here's some education, here's a prompt, and here's a little challenge for you to take on. So every week inside the community, this is happening for your mental health, for your relationships, all of it.
Nice.
What I would say right now is for listeners to take on this challenge is I would say this indicator of progress thing. I would spend some time by yourself first. How can I begin to show up better? What are my areas, right? Like that, I think that's a great exercise that needs to happen often.
Yeah.
With or without your partner. But the second thing would be, how are things better than maybe what I'm giving them credit for?
Okay. I like that. Indicators of progress.
And I bet if you spend a week or two and you're just looking for the good.
Right.
Get that lens on and capture it. Write it down.
Yeah.
Extra bonus if you go and voice some of this to your partner.
Love that.
There's going to be a shift. There will be.
Yeah.
I've helped people do this. I've seen myself big time go through some of that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going on 20 something years, 22, I think, together.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not all good. Mm-hmm. It's not all good. There's been some amazing moments of like, man, this is. We can't continue this path this way. This is not pretty.
Yeah.
You're not happy. I'm not happy about the dynamic. And when you really dive in and do some of this work, even if it's by yourself, you're going to see some kind of shift.
Yeah. Something that I was thinking about is sometimes I have a hard time tapping into looking at my partners through my own lenses of what I love and adore. Like I forget all the amazing things because I'm so focused on the freaking socks on the floor. But yeah. I think I'm going to do this
by
today.
The way, I've taken, what? You said this in other episodes.
Yeah.
So keep going. I think I know. I love this.
I don't know. This might be different, but I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to send a text message to a few of his friends, colleagues, parents, and I'm going to ask them to tell me what is your favorite thing about my husband? Because it's easier for me to see the way in which he's showing up in other relationships that other people find so amazing. And that I think is going to be kind of a different lens that I can view him through. It's like, I know that you're a really incredible, like generous friend to other people. And I can focus on that, and that can help to lift my, you know, like my shit color glasses a little bit. But, that's a new practice that I'm sort of trying to play with a little bit.
Yeah. What's the fondness and admiration others have for my husband?
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, okay. I can get on that. I like that. Yes.
Because I would say sometimes I get so bogged down in negativity that I don't have access to what I find loving. I don't have access to the ability of finding the positives in our relationship, but I can access what others have fondness and admiration for my husband. And that might lift me to a place where I can then start to see the positives in our relationship. So I'm just, I'm looking for other avenues because sometimes we are really in a hole, really in a tough place.
Yeah. It's life. It's marriage. Yeah. It's families. There's health stuff. You're living this stuff. So everybody has
their shit.
If not now, or they just got out of it. Like it's on the way. It's on the way. Yeah. And so the world is really trying to pull apart some of this, just what marriage means and what you can do with
it. Yeah. Hey, okay. Well, let's land this plane. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Huge thank you to my guests. Craig, you are just an amazing individual. I always enjoy, that you are not just talking the talk, but you're also walking the walk. You can find out more about Craig by going to his website, greatestdaymindset.com. From there, you can find his focus journal, which we've talked extensively about on a previous episode. But also his courses are super cool in the community. So if you're looking to continue to engage, maybe between or it, I guess, in addition to your work with your own therapist or reading books, listening to podcasts, he has a couple of communities available as well as his courses and his focus journal. And if you want to hear more from Craig, he has his own podcast. You can find that all out at greatestdaymindset.com. Thanks for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.